thing here. Amen. Well, Lord, we just praise you and we glorify you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for cooling it off here in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, that I ask for your mercy and your grace upon all of your elect out in Japan right now in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, for saving them, getting them in a nice, safe place. And we praise you and we glorify you, Lord, for that. And Lord, I ask and I pray that you get all your elect out of California too. That you bring them all, the ones that need to be here, here, and the ones that don't, wherever you've got them designated for them. And we praise you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for saving your elect over in Japan and maybe over here in California too. In the name of Jesus, amen. All right. Anybody else got a prayer they'd like to pray? Yeah, Missy.
Well, I kind of like to add on to that whole California thing, because that came to my mind today was, and I hadn't thought about this in a while, but Sandy's family is there. Her brother.
Who?
And if he, Sandy. Sandy's brother. Can
Sandy
you hear me?
Who? Barely.
Sandy Shaw. Sandy Shaw.
Oh, okay.
Her brother and sister-in-law and B. Espinosa or something like that.
Yeah.
So, Father, we just ask you to watch over them and protect them and be in her family and all the sisters that she knows and the families and all that are she's knows of your people, Lord, other Christians that she knows that she meets with. And Lord, I pray that they're all getting the news that things are going to be happening. And I thank you, Lord, for watching over and keeping my niece Anna protected. Get her out of California, however you do that, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for watching over and keeping her, protecting her, and all, like Michael was saying, all your elect. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord, for doing that. And Lord, any that have uses to shake them up, any that have backslidden and fallen away from you, Lord, you know, bring them back, Lord. Bring them back, Lord. Use this to bring them back in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Anyone else? Thank you, Lord, for bringing Sandy back, too. Ooh, that'd be awesome. Yes, Lord. All right. Amen. I was going to say something. Yeah, Julie, go ahead.
I'll pray, too. Father, I thank you that you give such grace and you're so long-suffering and you keep giving warnings and you keep speaking through your people, Lord. And thank you for turning people, that they will listen, that they will start listening, that you will give them the grace to repent and listen to what people are trying to tell them. They will even heed the signs and really start to question about things, where they are in their timeline, what they think they are or where they are, and start reading your word. And I also pray, God, that you will work in people's situations, Lord, that they will seek you to find out what to do, because what they're doing isn't working, and they see these things and bring people to repeatedly tell them the Lord's trying to get your attention. Lord's telling me to tell you, you know, whatever it is that they need to hear, because you will speak to your elect. That we are so prideful and self-willed and in a lot of ways so worldly, God, that we don't always hear. So thank you, Father, for giving grace to your people to be listening and to obey you, and that you will reveal to them. And even if there's still, like, I think, thinking of, you know, Lot's family, you know, they waited and hem-hawed and didn't want to go. And anyway, there was only four of them that they brought out of Sodom. And but Lord, you know who your elect are, and I pray that you are moving in their lives to move them out of these places where judgments are coming. And I thank you for doing that and preparing hearts, Lord, to receive the real good news, the gospel, and that your people are ready to minister the gospel, Lord, wherever we are, and to be ready in season and out of season. And all that means for each one of us, Lord, that we'll have a word for people that we may come in contact with, and to give warning, and that you'll give us the grace to give warning to people. And your people will hear, Lord, that you'll give them ears to hear and an understanding heart, that they'll start really thinking about it. Well, thank you for doing that, Lord, because you love us, because you love your people, and you know how to work in our lives, all of us, God, to get what you want. We praise you. And I also lift up our president, Lord, and continually lift him up for blessing and protection in your sovereign plan and will, Lord, that he, his family, his administration, the alliance, and everybody that's working to bring down the deep state are able to do it. They're able to do their jobs with the support that they need. And I thank you for the angels that are around them and helping them to do their jobs and keeping them from being taken down, because that's the plan. We know that's the plan of the deep state, to stop what's happening. And I thank you, Lord, that it's not going to happen. Thank you for bringing down the wickedness of the wicked and thwarting all of their plans, their false flag events, their plans for assassination, their plans for destruction and violence, and doing anything that's not according to your will. Lord, we thank you if we have the authority to cast all that down in the mighty name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen. It's a nice balmy 88 in here. Ooh, okay. Anyone else got a prayer? Yeah, Missy, go ahead.
Lord, help me to know how to say this. There's a situation in my family. We were having a texting chat week and a half ago, about a week and a half ago, and somebody said, somebody commented on something that somebody else commented on, and the person took it the wrong way, and I think they thought, looked at it quick and thought I was the one that made the comment, and they were offended, and they basically kind of gave me a tongue lashing, for lack of a better way of saying it. And I didn't even, I all I said was, is I didn't say that. And then I explained, because I knew what this other person kind of knew what this other person meant. Anyway, so then somebody else that was involved in the chat, I sent my this video of Fawn's playing this morning, and then another person made a comment, and I think this person may have been referring to the situation. Anyway, the person that was offended with me, and when it wasn't really me, but I basically took the heat. But anyway, that person's, they apologized then, but I have a feeling that they're kind of holding a grudge still. They're offended with me for some reason. And because someone else in the chat said a text to the group about, Father, help us to know, realize when we've sinned and ask forgiveness, and to love one another, or something to that effect. But anyway, and I had a feeling that that was in reference to the whole situation that I was just telling you about. I know it's kind of maybe convoluted and don't understand it, but it, but Father, I just and I and today, and then I had been thinking about asking this person, how this situation that they were talking about turned out. I text and I asked them, I did send it to the whole group, and this person didn't answer yet. And what put it in this person's heart to answer and to forgive, or to not have an offense. I don't know why they were so offended. I think it's just religious spirits. I bind up those religious spirits and set this person free. Lord, you know who I'm talking about. I don't want to name names or how what the relationship is in the family. It's not important, but I just want everybody to agree with me. And I cast down this spirit of affection and offense and rejection and religious spirits. And I just bind up every foul spirit that's trying to cause division in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, for putting forgiveness in this person's heart. And Lord, if there's really anything that I need to repent of concerning the situation, but I've been really that. Asking you about it, and maybe I just need to explain more to this person so they understand where I'm coming from. Anyway, Lord, I just thank you, Lord, for clearing it all up and all offenses gone, and there's all forgiveness and no faction. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. All right, anyone else? What's the latest on the Japanese earthquake? Has anybody heard in the latest on the calm down over there? Okay. Yeah, that's all right. Last I heard was early sometime this afternoon, so I don't know what's going on. I do know this, as if y'all remember, after the Japanese earthquakes is coming to the West Coast. Yeah, it's coming to the West Coast. And I don't think it'll stop. I think it'll keep going. Go ahead, Missy.
I mean, I believe the Lord's will have mercy in our prayers, and from what I heard from prophetic words originally, it sounded like the Japan earthquake was going to be worse than what they got. That was my impression, but maybe it's the Lord just having mercy. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? So,
Well, that's
anyway.
what we pray for. Lord, have mercy upon your people.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Lord,
That
go ahead.
Japan earthquake was all the worse it's going to be, and that, Lord, you're going to have mercy with the California quake too, Lord, that it's not going to be as bad. Thank you, Lord,
Amen.
and we praise you.
Amen. Thank you, Lord God. There was a prophetic word some time ago about California, the earthquake that can you hear me? Okay. That the earthquake on California was going to break off a lot of California. And Lord, we just ask that you have grace and mercy upon your people that might still be caught up over there and not move. We ask that you speak to them, and if necessary, translate them out of there. In the name of Jesus, and we praise you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, anyone else? We heard something, we read something the other day that up in the Northwest, that some of the lakes were heating up to the point that fish were dying. And yeah, that's pretty warm. That's sounds like things are getting ready. Yeah, Julie.
Up in the Northwest, like up in Washington, Oregon, where all like those volcanoes are up there, those mountains that will probably become volcanoes and dormant all volcanoes.
Yeah, probably so. Probably so.
Also, the I don't know if you guys have seen this in the news, the weather news or not, but they're predicting a really, really strong El Nino this winter, which they say the West Coast, California and West Coast could be directly affected, which is true, but what goes starts in the West from the storms move west to east, so there could be, major storms all winter. So I don't know how much of that we can pray down, but I also know that they're manipulating a lot of things in the weather. But Lord, whatever is not your will regarding this intense El Nino that they're predicting the worst ever in history. They like to say stuff like that. That Lord, if it's not your will, then I cast it down. I command failure to this El Nino, and I just pray, Lord, that the countrysides, the states, the areas that are in drought, that they need the rain, that they'll get really good rain because they need it, and because it's your desire to give rain to them, and it won't be like excessive rain, it'll be good winter rains like they're supposed to have, and if possible, Lord, some normal weather for the winter across the country. And there's a lot of things happening abroad too. I don't know if you guys have noticed anything global weather, but there's intense fires over in France, and where was it? Not Germany. Where was the other one? Can't remember. Anyhow, there's
Spain.
over in Europe, Spain. Yeah, intense fires. I saw some footage. It's just crazy. This is not normal, and I thank you, God, that you see everything. You know what's going on here, all these fires globally. And I don't know if it's land grabs, what they're planning to do, other than they like to destroy things. We know also it's judgments too, Father, but we do pray for your mercy in all these things, God, and we thank you for doing that in Jesus' name. And thank you for getting people out of the areas of these potentially dangerous areas where volcanoes are going to erupt up in the Pacific Northwest, in Yellowstone, and that's what Wyoming and Utah and California, and it's pretty broad, that area. And there's a lot of volcanoes, a lot of mountaintops up there, a lot of mountains. So, Father, we just praise you for your sovereignty over all these things. And we trust you, God, that you hear our prayers and you can lessen these judgments because you're a merciful God. And I know it's your will and your desire to save people. And I thank you, Lord, that they do need shaking. And I know you're going to do that, shaking the heavens and the earth. And I praise you, God, for your goodness towards us all. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy upon all of us, Lord, helping us to walk like you want us to walk. Lord, I remember a prophetic word many years ago that once the earthquake started, they weren't going to stop for a long time. That you were going to shake the world and shake the people out of the world. And Lord, we ask for your grace and your mercy that what they're predicting, that it won't get to that level, but that it will be just big enough to get people eyes on you, Lord. And that's what we'd like to have. And I thank you, Lord, for placing it in everybody's heart here to keep on praying for revival. Keep on praying for revival. Keep on praying for it. It hasn't started yet. Lord knows it's going to start when it's going to start. If we pray, it'll come quicker. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. All right, anyone else? And Lord, I thank you for putting love in our hearts too. The love of Jesus in our hearts for the people out there, that we would intercede for the lost people out there that are around us. We know that the whole neighborhood, we can pray for the whole neighborhood and get them in. And I praise you and I thank you, Lord, that when we do pray, that the angels go out and start to work and to work on their hearts. And we praise you and we thank you for that, Lord. Glory be to God. Amen. All right, anyone else? I don't know how that's going to affect Canada, but I suspect that it's going to. South Africa, I don't know. I'm sure it's going to start happening all over. All right. Anybody got anything they'd like to share? All right, Missy.
I'd just like to make a quick comment. A thought to me the other day about, like Eve's dream, earthquakes going across, like 7 major earthquakes going up all across the world. And prob you know, kind of like Sandy's dream, branching off and causing others and so on and so forth. My thought was there's probably not one person on this earth is not going to feel a shaking, literally, physically. That was just my thought, just so. Thank you, Lord. Come and shake everybody out of the apathy and complacency, and thank
Amen.
you, Lord, for doing it, bringing
Thank
your
you,
elect
Jesus.
to you in Jesus' name.
Amen. Lord, I just pray that we've read this new kind of love thing that I did here a while back. I think it comes from Kenya. Place that love in our hearts, Lord, that we would love people enough to want to pray them into the kingdom in a mighty way. And I praise you for that, Lord, that our prayer life is picks up by 100%. And I thank you for it, Father. A lot of times we forget that we have people around us that are, I'm guilty of that myself. We got people around us that are lost. And I'm talking about living around us, you know, in your neighborhood. We ought to be praying for them, bringing them into the kingdom. Thank you, Lord. Okay, anyone else? Anybody got a word from the Lord? Oh, we had a wonderful time last night. Yeah, hang on just a second. Let me get this out. Okay. We had a wonderful time last night at the fellowship. I saw the Lord. I saw a bunch of angels first. The angels were just all in the Anna's house and Matt's house. And then I saw the Lord up on his wooden throne that I keep seeing him in. And he was just having a grand time. And he stood up. He started kind of moving around with the music. And there was gold, I call it stardust, that was coming out of him, you know, this gold stardust coming all around him. And then I heard him give a word. And before I could get it out, Debbie got it. Was miracles, miracles, miracles. That's what it was. Yeah. And then the Lord explained it. And she beat me to it, which is fine. That's great. And she went ahead and gave the prophetic word. Miracles, miracles, miracles. That's what we're fixing to see. That's what he's saying. He said, we're going to see miracles, miracles, miracles. Great and wonderful miracles. And that was pretty much it. But boy, we really had a wonderful time last night. And we can have that every time we get together, you know. Okay, Julie, go ahead.
We can have that here too.
Yes, we can. Absolutely. Precious. What
Lord,
we
we want it here too.
prayed last night at the beginning was this: Lord, bring our hearts together with you in fellowship, Lord, that we're all in one accord with you, And our Lord, we just ask and we pray that the rooms would be shaken by the power of your Holy Spirit. And I thank you
Yes.
for that, Lord, and that people would see fire coming out of our roofs. And I praise you and I thank you for that, Lord. And that's what happened last night. Shalonda says she saw fire coming out of the roof last night. So praise God, Lord. That's what we want. We want the fire of the Holy Ghost in us. We want the love that you have for us. We want to express that love to the world, Lord. Be able to, and we do that by you being in us magnified the hundredfold. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord, for that in Jesus' name.
Amen. I'm
Amen.
there.
Thank you,
I'm
Jesus.
believing it. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Praise God. Praise God. All right, I have a song.
I've heard you can take what's broken and make it whole again. Well, here's the pieces of my heart. What can you do with them? 'Cause I can't hold them all together anymore. So I let them fall, surrendered to the floor. You make all things new. You make all things new. Oh God of mercy, from the depths of all my pain. Only you can take this shattered heart and make it beat again. Oh, you hold this all together in your hands. I surrender.
Yep, you make all things new. We're all new creations ourselves, aren't we? Praise God. Hi, Josie. Now go ahead, Julie.
I just want to pray something. That song is not just, for us. I just think like there are a lot of people in this world who have been hurt and broken their hearts. They have a broken heart, broken spirit. And I just want to pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the things that we have gone through in our lives, Lord, that you heal us. And you continue to work in our hearts and heal us. You do only you can heal our hearts, Lord, as we surrender them to you and all the pieces. And we try to hold ourselves together, but we can't. We can't fix ourselves. But I thank you, Lord, that you are the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our afflictions and all the things that we've gone through, so that we'll be able to do the same thing for somebody else and be able to minister to somebody else in their pain and their brokenness, Lord. And show them that you did this for me and you've done it for so many others. And there's a lot of hurting people, Lord. And we just want to be ready to be able to minister the gospel and your love and your compassion, and that we'll be able to relate to people because of what we've gone through and what you've healed us from, Lord. And you make us new and you want to make other people new too. And they just need to hear it and they need to know that they are loved by you. And let us be your hands, let us be your mouthpieces, let us be your heart of compassion. So you can use us, Lord, to help others in these days ahead. But we know there's a lot of hurting people and a lot of suffering, a lot of abuse, a lot of trauma, a lot of broken homes, and they may try to hide it, Lord, but you know how to break through all of that, Lord, and get people to come to you. So we're asking you, Lord, to draw them to Jesus, Father, and put them in our path where we can help them too. In Jesus' name, amen. Michael, you're muted.
I knew that. Okay. No, I didn't either. Has anybody got anything they'd like to share? Anybody got any questions from the Word of God that they'd like to expound on? Got some finger pointing going on here. Go ahead, Andrew.
I don't know if this is a question or a statement, but we know Jesus was put on a cross.
Can't hardly hear you, Andrew.
We know, I don't know if this is a question or a statement, but we know that Jesus Christ was put on a cross. So, we have a cross too. So who puts us on our cross? You hear that?
Yeah.
Because it says there in Romans 12, I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, don't forget that word, well-pleasing unto God, our spiritual service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed with the renewing of your mind. And of course, your mind is what you're supposed to love the Lord your God with. And unless God writes the love that he wants you to have in your mind and in your heart, how can you love him? Because you need that new covenant. So, who, what is really happening to us has already happened to people before in the scriptures, and We really see all these troubles that the Apostle Paul went through, and of course we hear about other troubles that people went through, like Felicitas and Polycarp and Perpetua, and the first three up to 300 years of Christianity, those first 3 centuries. So they had a cross there. And that was the former reign. It went on for a while. So, and we read about people who have made mistakes. And they were Christians. They were people in chapter 15 of Acts, 15 and 1 and 15 and 5. Just to remind anyone, it's some ceremonial laws there. And another in Galatia, the whole letter to the Galatians. Someone had to do that, and it was a brother, and the guy in Third John, D.O. Trapheus, he made a mistake, and he apparently wanted to throw out Demetrius, Gaius, and even John out of the church and take preeminence. And we have people in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1. And you know, these people had to be called by God, and they were called by God out of Judaism into the new covenant, and they were called by God out of the gods and goddesses of Galatia, Ephesus. You know, Diana is mentioned there, and they were called out of Rome and Italy, the gods and goddesses. And it's just amazing to see that these people came from a very different background from the God of Israel to hear the gospel. And of course, it was set up by God for it to happen, as it was set up for Peter. So these things of a corporate body of Christ has to happen again somehow, especially first for those people who are obliged to receive the gospel, you know. We know that we know several parables of what's going on now. It's the same thing that was what was going on back then. So are we treating these items that we see in the parables as a cross? Is Paul or these people like Jesus going through a cross when he's trying to call them, you know? He said, "Follow me," to quite a few people. And even John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." And someone looked over and it didn't really look like a lamb, and they followed him. And then he turned and said, "What do you want? We want to see where you live. Come and see." Where did Jesus live? Where are we supposed to live? How are we living? And I'm not saying this, I'm just saying this hopefully to encourage, but sometimes I get a little discouraged myself even when I talk about these things. And I think we have to pray a lot for our cross the way Jesus prayed. "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." And of course, you know, God would answer Jesus's prayer, and we have a cross too that we bear. So, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." And there's a lot in "they," because "they" is a group of people, and they we're supposed to be covenant people too, you know. And so, you know, I just wondered about that, you know. Jesus gave a parable there about a man making a tower and a vineyard and a place to make the wine and all that stuff, and then he went away. You know, he went away. Everyone saw him. Over 500 people saw him go away. You know, for 40 days straight, he showed up after they killed him and appeared to people. And on the last day, he rose up on the cloud there. And the angel said, that's the way we're going to see him come back. And there's a very interesting cloud over there in Revelation chapter 14 with two different harvests. But the first one is the good one. Anyway, because it's explaining that there's a blessing just before the good harvest. And so I just kind of wonder about these things, you know, and about our cross. Is it a difficulty for us to bring someone to the Lord, or does it just come so naturally that God takes care of it all? You know, does God not have to open a door for us? Does he not go before us? Does he not prepare the way? And how does he do this? And I know that we've experienced things where we just knew that it was going to happen, but sometimes it's kind of blurry. I don't know if that's the proper word. And so I just want to make these comments. I'm sure people can identify with them. And I just need more of the Lord, you know, to know that it's finished when it is finished, because it is, you know. Yeah, so to have that understanding, to advance in our Father's light, glory, as he shares his glory with us. Anyway, they were all, to me, they all seemed like a lot of young guys, you know, all those apostles, you know. They were all maximum maybe 40 years old, you know. And I know Nicodemus was a bit older, but, you know, he came in there too. And anyways, I just wanted to make that comment. Praise and glory to God, Lord, Father God. Magnify your presence in us. Lead us, guide us, and keep us, Father. Open doors for us, Father. Let us see in your word how you open doors a lot. How even some people had a door open for them and they had it shut. They shut it themselves. And what does it mean to have an open door with the Lord, an open door policy to gain fruit, to gain understanding, to gain these glories that God wants to share with us? You know, if there's a lot of light on the other side of the door and you don't have any light on in your room, what do you do? And he's got the most light of all. After all, he is our Father. And there's no darkness in him at all. And we want to commune with him, and we want to be with him, and we want to be in common with him. We want to have everything that he has to give to us that we could possibly have, and to be ready and to be watching. And just wondering about these things, you know, this spirit of Elijah that's supposed to return, you know. But he was in that John the Baptist, you know. What was he announcing, you know? What do we hear in these glorious books that we have printed, you know, here, and how this is a one body thing now, you know, and I know it says David Eales on here, but it is a one body thing, and he shared wonderfully with us over the years. Some of you've been here quite a few years, and if the apostle, ye are not straightened in us, but ye are straightened in your affections. If the apostle couldn't straight out those Corinthians, then who's doing the straightening out here anyway? Who's the sovereign God, you know? And I just want to be known how powerful our God is, our Father is, you know, just how powerful is God that when he speaks, it comes to pass. And if are we to have that open door for all the things he wants to give us? And that's just it, you know, like and I pray, Lord, that you would get rid of some of these sayings, and which they call mantras in the church, that are so wrong, Lord. Just cancel them out. Get the sayings corrected, Father, I pray. For the ones who can correct them, I pray, Father, correct these sayings. You know, they tried to catch your son in his talking with paying taxes. And Lord, you didn't get caught, because they couldn't catch the name called the Word of God in his words. So praise and glory to God. And you did the same thing with a person who only had the baptism of John the Baptist. He confounded the people who didn't have that baptism. So what is the baptism of John the Baptist? And who are these people today who say there's no resurrection of the dead? And how come they don't know that they were raised up with him? Even as it says again in Colossians 3 and 1, that if you're raised up with him, set your mind on things above. You know, and how is that mindset, except if someone has the ready pen writing it on there and writing it on your heart, in your conscience? Does God fail us? Do we have a God that fails us? No. No, we have an almighty God, creator of heaven and earth, of things seen and unseen. We don't see it, but we got to faith it, you know. And praise and glory to God. And I think of my first hearing of the Lord and the struggles that came. And I would encourage people to say to the Lord, you saved me. Well, where were you all my life? What did you do? And he'll tell you what he did, how he was drawing you in your predestined state before you were called. And he'll show you each and every effect that he wanted to show you, but you couldn't hear him at that time, but now you can. He's going to show you your journey. He's going to show your journey when you gave respect for him under the tutor of law. And he's going to show the respect that you gave him after the faith came to you, and how you may have even got mixed up in some things that were kind of dangerous, and he brings you through them. And praise and glory to God. He doesn't stop drawing us, and we have to depend completely on him. It's not about us surrendering, but who's in charge? Anyway, praise and glory to God. Lord, help me and help my brethren. Lord, put it in their minds that this new world order, this new age, is the iron and clay coming to pass. The iron fights against the iron. Oh, that iron over there tells you to go attack that clay over there, and that clay fights with the clay. And they got their confederacies together, you know, of these two different. Where's the unity? Unity has to be with grace, or there's no unity. And there's no unity. There's division. You see it in the news. And there's division in the religions. There's no unity there. You can't make a unity unless grace is involved. And grace that saves. And that's be strengthened in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. As Paul admonished Timothy as a little child, and he was a full-grown man, he admonished all those Corinthians the same, who he called children, but they were full-grown people. And how do we grow? How do we grow up here? So just things to think about. This is me speaking aloud on what's going through my mind sometimes, you know. So praise and glory to God. Praise and glory. You know, he does everything. Oh, it's hard to fathom, but he does. And thank you, Father. You know, they were those apostles, but there were the ones who did what they were supposed to do. There was the overseers, the deacons. There's even one guy who fell out of the third floor rafters, and that was a great lesson. I'm sure everyone wanted to be his buddy. You know what happened to you? No, I just woke up on the floor. I don't know what happened. Well, God saved your life. And what a testimony. What a testimony on how God saves lives. Wasn't finished with that young lad. And how did Paul or any of these people know that it was the last day for them? They were, most of the names you know of were martyred. One of them was thrown in prison in a penal colony. But they knew they were going to go there. You know, how did John know what was going on in those seven churches? Did he go there with a clipboard? You know, maybe he was translated there and no one saw him, and then he took the clipboard out. I don't know. But he was on that prison colony. I don't think they give him leave from that place to go figure out how to help the church. But those letters made it to them. Very next generation, you know, you get the letter to the Ephesians, and then you get that smaller letter from John. Paul's letter and John's letter. And it seemed it was all mixed up just 25, 30 years later. How many years has it been? How much mix-up is there? Sometimes goes through my mind. Help us, Lord. I think I'm going to stop talking now. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Andrew, your volume is way down. I don't know what the problem is, but I can hear you now that I got my big earphones on. But earlier on my earbuds, I couldn't hear you at all, hardly. But I can understand what you're saying, but also some other people were having trouble hearing you. So, having said that, I'm not real sure where we were going there. Anybody else want to comment on what Andrew was talking about? Okay. Thank you, Lord. Something. Let's see here. Okay. Should be, according to what we've heard, should be a bigger earthquake hit Japan before it hits California, according to what I just got. Like an eight. All right, here's a question that has been brought up, and I'll relate it. Let me find it. Matthew 10 and 16. It says, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves." Here's the question. How are serpents wise? And what would that look like for a Christian? And how are doves harmless? Not everybody at once, though. Yeah. Okay. Who wants to go? How are serpents wise? They're deceitful, aren't they? All right, come on, serpents are demons, aren't they? Go ahead, Benita.
All right, I'm just going to throw this out there. I was just
I'll see if
thinking
I can
about,
catch it.
okay, in Genesis, the serpent, I mean, he knows the Bible better than anybody, probably. He knows it inside and out. He knows how to use it. And he's wise to those things. He's wise to our imperfections and our weaknesses. So that's all I've got right now.
Okay, that's a good answer. Anyone else? Go ahead, Benita. You got something in? Okay. Now, one of you ought to be raising your hand here. I know y'all been studying on it all night long. All right, go ahead, Judy.
I was thinking about the serpent and what Benita said. And I looked up that word wise. And first, in that verse in Genesis, it's the word, I think it's cunning. The serpent's more cunning, which is, he's sly, he's sneaky, that kind of thing. But then the other scripture that was coming to my mind, and I've never really I've thought about this and I tried to visualize this, and I don't see snakes around here. And I'm not out in the nature. Like, I know sometimes, Michael, when you go on walks and stuff, you see snakes, right? You see them, right? Do snakes ever, when you come upon a snake, what does it do?
Well, it depends on how, what kind it is, but most generally they'll run from a human.
Exactly. There you go. They run, right? Okay, so the other scripture, I had to look it up, is in Proverbs 30:19. And this is, Solomon, his wisdom, the things he didn't understand, I think, is what these things he's talking about, things, too wonderful him, things he didn't understand. The way of an eagle in the air, the way of a serpent upon a rock. And I'm thinking, well, I've never visually seen that. In the natural, but it's like, okay, what I'm thinking, like a snake would be on a rock. How they have complete control of their body. They don't like slither around and fall off necessarily. They grab hold of the rock. But then I was thinking, if they're in danger, they would slither away. They would slither away, like when you go on your walk, they would slither away to get out of the way of danger. Like they would go into the rocks and hide, kind of thing. And maybe that's what Solomon meant there, you know, the way of a serpent upon a rock. So anyhow, I couldn't never really, I always wondered that when I came across that. What does that mean? What is a serpent like? So then I was thinking in context for that scripture in Matthew 10:16, is talking about, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Well, wolves want to bite and devour, and they're murderers, right? But he's saying to be like a wise as a serpent, and like when you said that they generally they'll get out of the way, they'll run. They'll run on their little slimy bodies, they'll run, they don't have legs, but they run. They hide. So that was helping me to put that together. But you guys might see something else there.
Amen. Go ahead, Andrew.
Can you hear me?
Barely, but go ahead.
Okay, I'll try to talk loud. Jesus was tempted for 40 days by the serpent. So he knew how the serpent worked. And he was tempted so that he even sweated blood. So he knew how that temptation goes. We're tempted. We have been tempted, but we have overcome these temptations also. So we're wise to his ways, and we're wise to the ways of these wolves that come around too, some pretty good verses also is we corrupted none, we wronged none, as the apostles said there, because he was with God. And the practice that we have gotten over the years and the intensity of these temptations, sometimes we might fail, but even in the failure, we learn. We're supposed to learn anyway. And even the parable I mentioned before about a man making a vineyard, he sent his bondman. A bondman is someone who's free from sin, enslaved to God, bearing fruit unto sanctification, unto eternal life. So we're those bondmen, and we bear fruit, and we get wise to the things that are wrong, and even just by reading God's word, because the 15th verse says, "Amen, I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable in the land of Sodom and Gomorrah on judgment day than for that city." And he's rebuking some of the very nice, good sites cities too, those places where people thought that they're the best, we got to be the best, because we do this and that and this and the other thing, but who really does everything? We can't commend ourselves that way. Even association with a nation, because we have to seek ye first. And anyways, so it's by understanding what's coming. The iron is there, and the clay is coming too. And we know that the height of this is chapter 13 of Revelation. They're going to blaspheme God, his name, and the tabernacle, and them that tabernacle in heaven. Well, who's tabernacling in heaven? I mean, you got a sanctuary, don't you? And he's going to walk in you, and you were raised up with him, you know, and you were crucified with him. If Paul was teaching the learned people of Galatia and the learned people of Ephesians these things, and he's teaching these people in Galatia their error, that he's trying to make a save here. He's trying to restore these people. And he can restore them because of his fruit and his understanding and what he can see. And still he says, you know, I'm not commending myself. I'm not sufficient of myself. And ye are not straitened in us. You are straitened in your affections for the grace of God. And that's why he said those things, because we all want to have a lot of grace of God. So that this thing here is sheep amidst wolves. Well, I guess you're going to be getting a cross from the wolves. And the wolves and the serpents think the same, but we're harmless as doves. Because in that book, I think we're supposed to have dove eyes. In what's the book called? In the Old Testament there. Songs of Solomon. Yeah. Just remembered. You need the eyes to see. You gotta have the dove eyes, you know. How do you show boldness with gentleness at the same time, or boldness with humility? Because if you saw a lion and it's a lion that helps you, he can still look pretty fearful. I saw him in a dream once, and he would make you shake, you know, when I'm 6'4" and he's on all fours, and you can look him straight in the eye. And that's the one in your humility that you are bold, and you're bold with the people because you're humble and you're gentle and you're meek and you're lowly, because you did go to him. You do have your yoke on, you know. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly. But you see, Jesus was bold also, because he went to the cross. He was bold in his cross. And you know, how do you get this earnest of the Spirit? You know, it's the fruit of the Spirit. And it's the gifts of the Spirit, and it's the blessings of the Spirit. So, and it's finished, and he said he was going to remind you of everything he taught you. And then it's really interesting on 14:26 of John and 15:26 of John. And he's going to give you the Spirit of truth through the Holy Spirit too. Because, you know, he's sending the Holy Spirit to teach y'all and remind you. So he's going to give you the Spirit of truth. Come on. You know, and it's just so many blessings there, and so many ways the words are so giving to us. And they think that these giving words are in unity with someone. And they think some unity words are not unity of the grace of God. And some unity words in are the grace of God. You know, seek ye first the kingdom of the Lord. And gotta be careful that sometimes you might think that unity is something else. Because it's, you know, it's part of the let us, you know, us, you know, let us, who you taking with you here? Is it the USA? Or is it the one in the us, in the let us? Having therefore these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God, which is the beginning of wisdom too. And he wants to share the fear of God with you. And in your humility, in your lowliness, you can be bold. And you know, I'm sure you ran into some of these people. They're just so meek and humble and gentle, and it kind of has the boldness to it too. In whom we have boldness and access with confidence through God's faith, or Christ's faith. And Christ told you to have God's faith. So where does this faith come from, and what is it? Okay. I think it's Christ in you, the hope of glory, okay? So it is that, and praise God. So I'm sorry I went on too long again. I'm just having things going through my mind. That serpent there is there's a lot of word. The fruits of the flesh, and they're all the serpent. And the dragon's coming, right? The dragon age is coming, you know, and they all, the dragon age and beast age, and they call it the new world order, and they call it the new age, you know, but we know it's the iron and clay. He never did it with the church. He never had to bring, he did it how many times? Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, Rome, with the old covenant people. But we only had iron and iron and clay. What's the MO of all these? You know, what's the behavior of Babylon compared to Mystery Babylon? What's, you know, that? I watch sometimes the Law and Order movies. What's his MO? What's his alias? What's his name? What kind of name is there, you know? You know, if you examine, it does say name over there, and it does say image, and it does say mark. All you got to know is those three are assigned. And if you have that one in chapter 13 of Revelation, you got what Simeon said, assigned, spoken against. And for the rising and falling of many in Israel. Now, some people think it's only that Israel over there, but there's an Israel over there in chapter 11 of Romans, and an Israel in chapter 6 of Galatia, which is a province where I think all the seven churches of Revelation are. Not sure about that, but maybe someone can tell me. Praise and glory to God.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead, Missy.
Just some things that were coming to me about things that David taught, and this just came to me here in the just a few minutes here. So I really got to thinking about it because I was a little distracted. I got a text, but anyway, I got to looking at this verse. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Well, that makes me think of wolves in sheep's clothing, right? You know, the wolves, the apostate leaders. And then serpents. Well, David's taught us that serpents are spirits and their poison is in their head, okay? And and their poison affects our minds. So to deal with the wolves, we have to use the word even better, or should I say, as well as Satan does, but in a harmless way, like doves do. He does it for evil to deceive, but we do it, should I say, I need to do it in a way that is harmless, that reveals truth, where Satan uses it to lie and deceive. Anyway, so I was like, wow, thank you, Lord. That just does, like, like when I really looked at that, and I looked past that, when it says about wolves in the midst of wolves, so that we because we're gonna, I know. Oh, Lord have mercy. I know I've been received harsh words from people who have been educated in the in religion, let's put it that way. And they don't like it when you can use the word to come back and give an answer. So that I'm just, Lord, thank you, because this is like a lot of stuff here and just quick, he's given me, and it's like, thank you, Lord, for doing it. Yeah. So anyway, but that's what's come to me. Just pretty cool, I think. Thank you, Lord. I give you the glory. So praise you, Lord. Yeah, I need to be harmless in using the word of God to set people free, to come to cast down, speak the truth, and cast down doctrines of demons, to cast down attacks because of religious spirits or whatever, Lord, help us all to do that better, Lord. And Lord, help us, help me to put the word in my mind and in my heart even more than what I already do. I'm going to be better at that even more, Lord, because like you said, don't worry about what you will say. Why? Because the Spirit will give it to you. And what is the Spirit? The Spirit is the word, it's the word that that the Lord will bring to my mind to speak, or whatever I say will align with the word of God. So thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Very good. Go ahead, Judy.
It's good, Missy, because I was getting that too as you were saying that, how the wolves are going to use the deception, poison the mind, and that word harmless. There's doves. That word is like a pure. It's pure. It's guileless. There's no. It's like innocence, I guess. It's like innocence. So, and the word that we would get, and it being wise as a serpent, well, our wisdom comes from above. We would use the wisdom of God. We would use the wisdom of what the Lord is telling you to say. Like you said, I will give you the words to speak. And his wisdom exceeded. God's wisdom exceeds anything Satan would ever use, So that's how Jesus always, he didn't argue with the Pharisees. He always used the, he, you know, because they always were using the law. This is just what's coming to me. They were always using the law against Jesus to try to get him to, to trap him in his words, and he would always they would always use the law, but of course he was the law, right? He is the word. But it's like you're not going to be able to outdo God. He's going to give words that will be able to confound even the wisdom of man and these liars and deceivers. Oh, amen. Thank you, Lord, for giving us revelation and what you're saying there. Amen.
Amen.
That's all.
Yeah, Andrew. Thank you, Judy. It's good.
That's what I meant when
You're
I
going to have
prayed
to speak
earlier
up, Andrew.
about the mantras and the sayings that are in
Andrew,
church.
you're going to have to
Yeah.
speak up.
That's what I said earlier about the mantras and the sayings that are in the church. I prayed against it, and actually, I think there's a delay on my computer because the little green square takes a couple of seconds for it to appear, and I already said something. Just speak, and you'll see the little green square or rectangle that you're on. So yeah, and these mantras, how many different sayings? We're supposed to have the same mind and speak the same thing, and we're supposed to have the same judgment. And they hijacked a lot of stuff. They hijacked quite a bit of stuff. The government even hijacked some stuff there that was supposed to remain in the church. Weddings are supposed to be the church, and the church is supposed to take against do everything about weddings and counsel young people who are getting married and stuff. But if the government comes in and says it knows more about that than the church and hijacks it, then God shows you they don't know nothing about it because they think the marriages that they have licensed, like the previous verse in 15, is wrong, Sodom and Gomorrah. And you get these sayings, and they're so prevalent. And there's even, sad to say, some people who believe that and brought it in, to their own ministry. And that's kind of weird, So praise and glory to God. And I do hope he erases these mantras and these sayings, like the one there that says, the only thing you can ever hope to be is a sinner, so just be happy you're saved and get on with your life. Well, I think they should read Romans chapter 6 because you're supposed to be free from sin and you're not supposed to deny the master who bought you. So, praise and glory to God. And it's things like this that are repeated just for the sake that they want something to repeat. And baby Christians and little Christians come up with these sayings, and it's not right. And how would a father deal with that? If you had an older brother and a younger brother, I'm the youngest, so they had practice with dad on how to train him. But there's no way of messing up dad. They always seem to get it right. And but what about our heavenly Father, and how do we get this heavenly Father to call him Father? The Lord Jesus taught us a prayer. Who was Jesus? He was the Son of God. And what's the first two words of the Lord's Prayer? Our Father. And you got a sanctuary with the Father. He's gonna dwell in you and walk. Is that the way he walks? Is there a way you can see how people are supposed to walk and hear how people are supposed to walk? Or is there something smelling funny? And I'm not talking about someone didn't have a shower or something. I'm talking about something not even tasting right. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. So, These mantras, we were taught spirit of the word versus the letter of the word. And some of these items that are not the temple that we're supposed to be talking about, or not the Israel we're supposed to be talking about, or not the Jerusalem that we're supposed to be talking about, and not the Jesus we're supposed to be talking about. If it's a different temple, it's a different Jesus, and if it's a different sanctuary, there's a different sanctuary is an idol, and it's a different agreement, it's a different narrative. And each one of these differences, the Lord has to fix, and he's going to fix them, the ones he fixes. Anyways, praise and glory to God.
Amen. Anyone else? What about the dove? Harmless as a dove. Yeah, that's it.
Well, to kind of, I did say a little bit about that, about, using the word to set people free rather than injure them or deceive them like a serpent would. I lost my train of thought. Help, Lord. Anyway, yeah, just to not cause harm, to not cause harm to someone. Your intention is to help them, to not to use the word to beat someone, But to help them, which is totally contrary to the serpent.
All right, anyone else on this particular verse? Yeah, Joe, go ahead.
I would just say the only way the devil could be wise is deceive people. The only way we could be wise is in the truth. And innocent as a dove is Jesus. You cannot defend yourself. You have to change people's mind for the truth. It's the only way you can do it. You cannot find with flesh and blood, only with the truth. God can use that. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, Judy.
Think sometimes too, the dove is symbolic of peace. So you want to be, try to keep peace as opposed to cause trouble, make trouble. And also, doves are used, I think, weren't they like an offering? So they're very like a humble, people who didn't have a lot of money when they, had to make an offering for whatever, sacrifice and offering, doves were used for that kind of thing. And I'm not sure how it fits, but it's like when Noah on the ark after the 40 days of being on the water, and he sent forth a raven and a dove, and the dove came back. I don't know how many times he came back, But then the last time he came back with an olive branch. And then he didn't come back at all after that. So I don't know, it's just I just see it as doves as being innocent. Harmless.
Amen. Go ahead,
But
I'm
they're also,
sorry.
I think they're vulnerable too. I think doves, I'm sorry, I think doves are vulnerable too. You know, and amongst a wolf, you know, they tear him apart. So, but the evil one cometh and he has nothing in me, you know. So, that's it.
Go ahead, Lucy.
Well, I also thought that, about doves represent the Holy Spirit too, lots of times. And so if you're being led by this, if I'm being led by the Spirit, I'm gonna be harmless. I'm gonna be harmless in what I say, in the words that I speak. I can use God's word to, like I was saying earlier, to beat somebody with it. I can speak the word till I'm blue in the face, but what's my intent? Am I using it to beat somebody or to lift them up?
Amen. If you've got the Holy Spirit, you're listening to the Holy Spirit, he'll guide you away from the snake, the serpent. Keep you from getting deceived. Snakes are funny creatures. You know why they get on rock? Because it's warm. They're cold-blooded animals.
Sunbathing.
Yeah. Well, that hawk's hot from the sun. I've seen them do it. They get up on a rock and coil up there and sleep, waiting on somebody to come by or something to come by to snatch it out of the way to eat it. All right, anyone else? Well, what did anybody, what'd y'all get out of it? The two that were discussing it. Interesting. That's a good question. That's a real good question. Go ahead.
Well, I got out of it. You guys helped a lot. But I got out of it, you know, because this is talking about this, you know, what Jesus was teaching is like persecution will come. So in context, how we're supposed to be amongst those who, you know, would be perceived as an enemy and want to take prey, you know. You know, make prey of somebody weak, you know, that we would have this wisdom and an understanding about what to do and how to be and that. So thank you, Lord, for showing us, you know, how we're supposed to be in the times of tribulation when we're in it, you know. And I guess mostly, you know, a lot of it's going to be, you know, the men when they go out there and minister in whatever capacity that is. And Lord, that you'll show them, you know, what these things are and how we're supposed to be, that Christ in you would take over and know exactly what to do. Yeah, I thought it was an interesting discussion, just because what was Jesus saying, to his disciples about, because to me it just didn't make sense. But he always spoke in parables, and he always explained to his disciples the parables. So this is like a parable, using, animals. Thank you, Lord.
What you might not know about the dove is the dove is very in his flight patterns, it is to his advantage. He flies like this. He's hard to hit. He's hard to get. The hawks have trouble catching him, and about the only time they could catch him was like when he's landing or something like that. Because in flight, he's tough to hit. He's hard, because he's darting all the time. If you'll watch your flight, they'll do that. So that's another aspect of the Spirit of God. The enemy's not going to just overtake you if you're full of the Spirit, the wisdom, and the wisdom is the word. Praise God. Anybody else? Thank you, Lord. Okay. Anybody got a question they'd like to get answered? When's the rapture? Yeah. Get us out of here, Lord.
It's imminent. It's any moment.
It's any moment. Yeah, that's what I've been hearing. Yeah. Help us, Lord, to when the time comes. I just ask, Lord, that you anoint us all to be able to give the gospel out in a way that people would drop to their knees in repentance and cry out to you, Father. I'd like to see a good repentance revival, just like it was down at the New Hebrides. People would just, man, they would just fall out on the streets and cry out to God for repentance, I mean for salvation. Amen. And what's going to do it is the signs and wonders. It's going to really trigger this off. God's going to show us some things that we never thought was possible. All we have to do is just believe it. I been doing things that I never thought were possible. Here locally is just been a really an open book for me to be able to believe anything. God can do anything, y'all. He can do anything. And I know people have listened to some of the teachings on this site, and I said, oh my goodness, I've never heard such garbage. Well, I can tell you something. Everything that's been told has been proven through the news media, every bit of it. And it's awesome to watch and to understand that there ain't nothing God can do. I mean, He made this planet that we're on. He made each and everybody that's on this planet, and He made those planets out yonder too. And He can do anything that He wants, and He's doing it too. And He's utilizing men to do it. That's what we're for. He's using our hands. He's using our mouth. He's using our intellect. He's using our feet to get the job done. Go ahead, Andrew.
You referred to the verse, and greater works shall you do because I go unto the Father. Okay, so let's slap on Ephesians 2:6 there, or is it 2:5? I can't remember. the phone number for that verse where you're supposed to be raised up with him. And in Colossians 3 and 1. So don't know, Matt. I'm just saying what popped in my head. That's all. It's kind of spooky, scary, spooky good, or spooky nice. Holy Ghost nice, and Spirit of Christ, command ye me, and there's just so many things that attach to that, and it's just a wonderful thought to think on these things. Praise and glory to God.
If you look in the Old Testament, there's some things that God did there that will just absolutely blow your mind. Walking around a wall, for goodness sake, and seven times, and it's come, and it don't just come tumbling down, it goes straight down in the ground. I said, come on, Jesus, boy, that's awesome. If he can do that, what else can he do? Anything. Yeah, it don't do that. It just went right straight down in the ground. Oh
I was talking
my. And
about parting of the great of the Red Sea.
yeah, partner of the sea. Who would have thought that you could do that? Moses didn't. He said, what do you want me to do, Lord? Help me, help me. Good gracious, we're out here. We're fixing to die by the hand of the king over here. And the Lord said, didn't I tell you? Lift your rod up, part the sea, go on across. Like it wasn't nothing. And he did. That's just some things that he. What about all the Balaam priests and all that getting out there? They're going to have a. Who was it, Isaiah and him getting out there, and they were. So whose God is the best? You go first, Balaam. And they get out there and they scream and holler and they prance around, do all kinds of nutcase stuff, trying to get their God to do get rid of that, to get rid of them cut up cow. And then Isaiah just walks up there and says, well, maybe your God has gone to sleep. Maybe he's down at the movie house, or maybe he's over there eating popcorn somewhere and can't hear you. I said, ain't this special? And then, of course, Isaiah steps up there and says, Lord, show him. And what does he do? He comes down. Not only does he tells him to put that water all over that thing, where it would be a just a wonderful. That's the best story in the whole Bible, in my opinion. And he just waters them cows down and good, right, bulls down, and they just got water everywhere. And there ain't no way no God can get that thing out of there but God. The God. And what does he do? He gets rid of it all. Gets rid of the Baals too. Whatever you call them. That's an awesome story. And that just shows you that God uses men to do his works for him. All we have to do is just follow his lead. Why did he make us? Anybody tell us why God made us? To commune with him, didn't he? That's what he made us. He needed us as his buddies. That's the way I like to put it. How many of you take him walking with you or take him to town with you when you go? Yeah, they love us. That's right. I did. I tell you, come on, Jesus, let's go to town. So let's go walk it. Or let's go get an ice cream cone. Yeah, that's a good one. He wants to be our friend. He'll use you in a mighty way. Yeah, Jesus, Judy.
Well, it's the, he made us to love us, and like you said, have fellowship with us. But he made us so that we would want. I mean, when you understand, I guess when you understand the sinfulness of what he saved us from.
Yeah.
The grace, you know, when we start realizing the ugliness of our sin and what, you know, he took upon himself for us. He did that because he loved us, and he wants us to love him in return freely, you know, so that it's not a because I have to, it's the law kind of thing. It's because no, I love and appreciate what God did for me and what he's given me, that he wants us, he made us to love us, but and to receive that love, but also that, you know, we would learn to love him back and it'd be real, you know, and adoption, you know, to make us his children. He didn't have to do that. And then also, you know, to be so special to him in his heart, and to love him so much and obey him and trust and believe and have faith, to be part of this end time ministry and to be part of this bride, you know, this high calling, and understand what that is. That's to me sometimes it's overwhelming how where we are and what we're about to be part of is still just like, you know, it's big what God's done for us. And he wants us to love him in return freely. And that he wants that relationship of love and fellowship with us. And yeah, who are we that he would do that, right?
We can't, you know, if you could see him in the spirit realm, you'd see just a wonderful guy that loves to have fun with his children, with his buddies, with his friends. And it's just awesome to, you know, and he's the last few times that we've seen him, he's been in just a regular old, not old, but a wooden, oak wooden chair, like a, you'd see just about anybody, old folks, you know, house. In fact, I've got one back in Arkansas like that, and he sits in it. He's not trying to put on any airs. He's just showing us that he loves us. That's what he likes to do, showing us that he loves us. And the least we can do is to commune with him every day and tell him. And I guarantee you, when you do that, you start doing that, you're going to see a change in yourself, because that love of Jesus is really what is it, what do they call that? Habit forming. It is. Because he takes you with all of your stuff. You know what I'm saying? God does. He just, anyway, we'll be quiet. Has anybody else got anything to say? Yeah, he does. He gives us new stuff. And if you knew him, if you talk to him every day, he's just like an everyday guy, except he's God, you know. And I think that's what a lot of people get mixed up about. Yeah, better than we ever were. He's a good example. Yeah, and that's why we ought to be getting close to him and finding out what kind of a person he is. And I guarantee you, you'll see things that you never thought were possible that we could believe for. There's things that, well, he'll do anything you ask him to do if you're sincere and you need it. Okay, anyone else? How many of you would like to see the works that he did? And greater works? Yes, sir, I would. I want to see some more. I've already seen a bunch. but I want to see some more. I tell you, y'all remember me telling y'all about I was sitting here one morning and I heard it pow right on my window. And it was a pigeon that had hit my glass, and right behind it was a pow, another pow, and it was a hawk that had hit my window. That was after that pigeon. And that pigeon made it around to the side of the house over here on top of the house and got away from that hawk, but it knocked that hawk silly. And he finally flew off, but that pigeon went over here, and I said, "Good gracious, what in the world was that?" And I saw him down there, and so I ran outside and saw him over here on this side of the house. He was struggling to kind of get himself bearings right, and he had a band on his leg. He was a homing pigeon. He colored up like a homing pigeon. They're a little bit different than a regular pigeon. And man, I said, "I wonder where that thing's from." Anyway, I never could catch him. But anyway, he stayed there for a couple of days. We tried to get him to stay. We'd feed him stuff, keep him there, and got him back to where he could fly a long way. And he took off one morning, I guess, and he was gone. But he stayed here a couple of days. We prayed for him. That's what I was getting to. We prayed for him to be able to get home, wherever home was. It could have been up there where Missy lives. Who knows, you know? Or up there where Andrew and Ben live. It could have been up in Round Olive or somewhere. Yeah. He didn't want to be over in that blue city, so I expect he's kind of went by yet. Anyway, anybody else? Yeah, Judy.
How far away do homing pigeons fly?
Till they get home.
No. How far away from home do they fly? I mean, how many, are they known to?
I
Anyone
don't
know?
really know. I don't really know. I know. Well, I don't know. I don't know. I really
I
don't
don't
know.
know either.
Well, they used to use them back during some of the wars as communications things, you know. So, I don't know how far they traveled even back then. All right, anyone else?
May I share a scripture?
What's that?
May I share a scripture?
Well, sure. Yeah, go
It's
ahead,
come to
Debbie.
me while I was talking about the Lord. This is one of my
Sure.
favorite parts of the Bible. Anyway, as
Well, I hope so.
it's King James, but I love it in the King James. It's
Okay.
Malachi 3. You guys will know what I'm talking about as soon as I start to read it. Malachi 3:16, it starts in 16. The Book of Remembrance. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord gave attention and heard it, and took a book of re and a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who esteem his name. They will be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I prepare my own possessions, and will, oops, sorry. Read from the wrong Bible. I brought it up in the King James. I read my other Bible. I want to read it from King James. That's my favorite way. Sorry about that. I'm going to read it from the King James again. Start over. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them, as a man spareth his own son that serves him. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. It just so how much he is so pleased and loves us talking about him. And even just in speaking to him on our just one-on-one with the Lord. And but I just love that part of when I come to make it my jewels, we're just so precious to him. You know, we're so precious to him. We're like jewels. That's why I just, they may not be correct, but I've always liked that. That's so pretty, you know, meaningful. But I just thought of that. It started coming to me when we're just talking about the Lord, just listening. And okay, I wanted to share that.
Okay, I'm glad you did. Go ahead, Andrew.
Weren't the jewels adorning the walls of that old temple? You know, and anyways, I'm just thinking aloud here. Remember a song that they used to sing, "We are gems and here to say we're serving the Lord in every way." And I remember a bunch of kids singing that song, and my kids were pretty young then. I sung it, or tried to sing it, hopefully.
Do you have a microphone, Andrew, or do you trying to get your, use your microphone on your earbud? This computer? No answer. All right. Anybody else? We got maybe 30 seconds. What is it? Praise and worship on Thursday night? Okay. Everybody got a song they're going to sing? I'm going to bring my Jew's harp, play it. Some of you don't even know what I'm talking about, but anyway.
What harp?
A Jew's harp.
Okay. Oh, my. Okay.
I do know how to play one of those. I played them since I was a kid. Okay. Lord, we just thank you for an awesome time tonight with you. Lord, we just ask and we pray that you be with us and give us encouragement along the way. Lord, keep us straight. Keep us on the straight and the narrow. And, Father God, keep that laughing and glad heart going. And we thank you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, that everywhere we go with you, it's always a good time. And Lord, keep us tuned in to you all the time. We're coming into a great and wonderful time here. People won't think it is, but it will be, because a lot of people will be coming into the kingdom because of it. And we praise you and thank you for it in Jesus' name. All right, y'all be blessed to him.